And we continue at 2:06 in the afternoon. Talk Radio 790 KABC, the John Phillips Show, broadcasting live in exile from the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa Living Room Studios. And it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wang's at the sports desk in Culver City.
John, I'm starting to get a little nostalgic. In less than 2 weeks, Eric Garcetti will no longer be the mayor of Los Angeles. And where are we going to get such exceptionally meaningless platitudes like this?
But I've always said transportation is the prism through which we see housing, and housing is the prism through which we see transportation, because the distances we have to travel to and from where we live and where we work and play is really defined by the housing market.
He uses so many words to say nothing.
It's really a talent.
Just be smart and stay apart.
The only thing that I take away from that statement that you just played is that not only did he want to be Secretary of Transportation, but he would have accepted housing and urban development as a backup.
Oh, no. There are so many insults that happened before he got offered the India job. And then the fact that that one they can't even get through. He is very upset with the Biden administration.
800-222-KABC is a telephone number. 1-800-222-5222. Well, the big story all weekend in the national press was President Trump, former President Trump, hosting Kanye West along with Milo Yiannopoulos, who is a writer and a provocateur who got kicked off of Twitter and went on with Bill Maher, and that appearance on Bill Maher, I think, got him canceled over remarks he made about child molestation. Apparently, he is now ex-gay. Did you see that?
Oh, really? The conversion therapy works?
My guess is no. But who knows? And also at this dinner with the former president was a guy by the name of Nick Fuentes, who is apparently also an internet provocateur, but of a different sort. He is a Holocaust denier and a white supremacist.
Yeah, he just provokes people with things like wanting to exterminate all the Jews.
And you say to yourself, how does someone like that get anywhere near the president? Trump is now claiming that he had no idea who Nick Fuentes was, and the dinner was very brief. Apparently, it lasted for 2 hours. And all of this is causing me to revisit an evening I spent in Florida last year. Rick Grinnell, who's a friend of the show, former ambassador to Germany and director of national intelligence, was receiving an award. And the ceremony happened to be at Mar-a-Lago. And the individual who presented him with the award happened to be President Donald Trump. Now, it wasn't advertised that Donald Trump was going to be there. It was advertised that the First Lady was supposed to do the introduction. But it's Mar-a-Lago. It's where the president lives. So if he wants to show up, he can show up. So there was a lot of traffic outside of Mar-a-Lago because everyone was showing up at the same time. And it was so bad that I decided that instead of sitting in the car and waiting for the car to bring me to the front door of Mar-a-Lago, I would just tell the driver, I'm good, I'm going to get out of the car and just walk the rest of the distance. I assumed, since I knew the First Lady would be there and I thought that the former president might be there, that it would be absolutely loaded with Secret Service and you're going to have to go through all kinds of security hoops before they let you in. The opposite ended up being true. I literally walked into Mar-a-Lago off the street without having to check in with anyone. There was no metal detector. There was no uniform security. There were no police officers. There was literally an open door, and I was wearing a suit and tie, and I guess I looked like I belonged, and I walked from the street into Mar-a-Lago, into the ballroom, and I sat three tables away from the president. And I thought to myself at the time, this probably isn't a good security policy. Because not only was the former president there, but you had members of Congress, you had the Attorney General of Florida, you had the former Director of National Intelligence, the former First Lady. There were a lot of people in that room. And I walked right in from the street. So if you're asking yourself the question, how does someone like that get in there? Maybe it's time to reevaluate the standards and practices of how we let people into Mar-a-Lago. Joining us to talk about this and much, much more is the columnist at The Federalist and author of the book Liberal Misery, How the Hateful Left Sucks Joy Out of Everything and Everyone, available online at Amazon.com. You can follow him on Twitter at eScary, two R's in scary. Eddie Scary, welcome.
Hello, and happy holidays, John.
Happy holidays to you, too. So I'm curious to get your take on what happened at this meeting of the minds down in Mar-a-Lago over the weekend.
Well, when former President Trump says that he did not know who Nick Fuentes is, I believe him. And I believe him based on the fact that I don't really know who he is. I have heard that name come up, and I swear to you, it is only from people who hate him, who hate whatever it is that he does on the internet. I have never heard from a diehard fan, a proud Nick Fuentes supporter, subscriber, whatever it is he does. I have never heard it. When I used to work at the Washington Examiner, it was always the children, the 21-year-olds who wanted to write about Nick Fuentes, always to denounce him in some kind of very brave way. But I otherwise, to this day, I work in as right wing of an outlet as you possibly can get. And yet I never hear the words favorably or disfavorably about Nick Fuentes anymore. So I do believe that Donald Trump, when he says he didn't know who that was, he wasn't expecting this person, probably still has no clue as to what this.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Person does. The only time I ever see his name come across these days is, again, from people on Twitter who work at, you know, the Daily Beast or some other liberal outfit where they have a dedicated, you know, 22-year-old who sits there and finds. I even had to ask my colleagues today, where would I find Nick Fuentes? Because I Googled his name thinking he's got to have a website, right? NickFuentes.com or something. Nothing really comes up other than he's got a Wikipedia page. I found no way to get direct access to him. He doesn't have Twitter, doesn't have as far as I could tell, no Instagram. They ended up explaining to me that he's on Rumble. He has, I think, his own, he's on Telegram, which that, I don't even know what that is really. I think it's some kind of Twitter. But I would say that the more crucial matter is that the former president, and, you know, by his own admission, invited Kanye West to come to dinner. So, and you know, I'm not greatly affronted by anything Kanye West has said or done. And in fact, many over the course of the last few years, but of particular interest in the last few weeks, I'm not super interested or super upset by any of it. Even some of it has, there is a lot of truth into some of the things that he says, but there's a lot of things he does. If you watch him in his raw, if you take him in his raw format, you know, watch the videos where he's making these comments that you hear about, listen to the audio, look at his social media posts. There's a lot of stuff there that just doesn't make any sense, is very stupid, is largely incoherent. Why waste your time with this person who's clearly, in my opinion, putting on a performance? He thinks that this is an interesting ride. He's an artist. To some extent, I appreciate his art. But this is a former president who plans on running for president again and is dilly-dallying around with this guy who is making a complete ass out of himself. And so, of course, he brings this person that, you know, again, I have no idea who Nick Fuentes really is or what he does. But, you know, the fact that he entertained Kanye West alone is enough to be concerning.
Well, I don't know if he's a performance artist. I think that he's mentally ill, and I think we've seen a lot of evidence of that for a very long period of time. And frequently you can be musically or creatively very talented and also have all kinds of other problems. We've certainly seen a lot of artists like that, where they can do one thing very well, they can be very creative, but then their life is a mess in every other aspect. And it looks to me like that is the case for Kanye West. But if you're the political team of Donald Trump, and he just announced that he's running for president, and you have Kanye West running around saying all kinds of nasty things about Jews, and you've got this guy, Nick Fuentes, who Trump probably, I think you're right, doesn't know who he is, but his political team should be at least aware of who he is. And just take it even a level below that. The security team should know who's around a former president. Look what just right. happened to the former president in Japan, where Abe was murdered by some lunatic who had a beef with him and was able to kill a former head of state. With these people being so unstable, and these people in particularly in recent days being extremely unstable, why would you allow them anywhere near the president?
Yeah, I agree with you. And it is like what you were talking about. The informality is pretty that's just something we have seen about the former president, is that he's a very informal person. Whoever wants to see him, he will entertain. He will be the host and the gracious host for anyone who's interested in being around him or being seen with him. I do think that speaks to another problem, another problem with Trump. But you know, to the degree that he was in some way plotted, I think that the overarching suggestion seems to be from the news reports and from the media that this nasty person has direct access to the former president, who wants to run for the office again. And isn't that terrible? Because who knows what they were talking about? And shouldn't we be concerned that Trump is once again feeding into the idea that he's a white supremacist pacifist at the very least? I think that there's really nothing to that. Again, I think he at minimum knew, because again, he admits it, that he knew that Kanye West was coming. He invites Kanye West. Kanye West is obviously, you know, there was a very lengthy report in the Wall Street Journal today about how Kanye West would go when he was with Adidas and go to the executive meetings and just completely berate all of the executives and make demands on the spot, accuse them of robbing him, lying to him. Weirdly enough, which I thought spoke great things to his business acumen, they acquiesced to almost everything. Anytime he accused them of lying, they'd be like, oh, sure, like take 20% more. We'll also give you $15 million to continue your philanthropy, et cetera, et cetera. I was like, wow, that's pretty genius. But you know, you go back to even when Kanye West went to the Oval Office that day, I guess that was 2017, 2018, and just spewed out this endless train of thought that was really going nowhere, meandering everywhere, cursing. This all was happening on live television, because every major cable outlet was carrying it. And just like, if you're going to show up and be just a complete clown, which is what he has demonstrated he does basically time and time again, I don't know why take the chance. And that something like this happened, I mean, clearly Trump just doesn't learn anything. And I would say that is really the problem, that he doesn't seem to learn things. That was a big problem with Sarah Palin. You remember she was, you know, people, she had a lot of supporters. People thought she was going to run in 2012. They wanted her to run in 2012. And she just refused to actually learn anything beyond what she actually knew going into, you know, 2028, which she failed. I think that again is just, it's a Kanye West problem. Nobody cares about Nick Fuentes.
Well, with Trump, I think it's two different things with Kanye. And I think from his point of view, he was entertaining Kanye West and whoever was Kanye's posse for dinner. And that's the extent of it. But Trump Sure. respects two things. He respects celebrity. He really likes celebrity. He lived in that world of New York City tabloids and Page Six and all of the gossip rags and Liz Smith columns and AJ Benza columns and all of those sorts of things. So he respects it if you are a celebrity. And he also loves it when people kiss his ass. And he thought that he was going to have a bona fide celebrity show up to Mar-a-Lago and kiss his ass. And he's always interested in that. And then when Kanye showed up and started demanding that Trump run as his running mate the next time around, Trump got irritated with him and started focusing on the posse. And that's why he talked to Milo, and that's why he talked to Nick Fuentes, because he wasn't getting from...
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father. My uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Kanye, what he was expecting to get.
I can see that. And I mean, I'm not really sure where this segment is going now, other than that we recognize that this is a huge problem of the former president. And I think that, yes, the idea that we have gone now through 2 months, again, I myself am not particularly interested or offended by the things that Kanye has said over the course of the last two months-ish. I think, again, there are many things that he has tapped into that are really worth consideration. But I do think the media does him a great service by paraphrasing him, even sometimes directly quoting, chopping up his quotes and giving it a little bit, because those actually make you think you're hearing from maybe a hateful person, but a coherent person. They should be actually just from top to bottom quoting him exactly everything that he says, and then showing him on TV when he's on video, and they have the video showing him exactly what he said from top to bottom, because that then people would be able to look at that and say, okay, this person makes no sense, and in fact, why is my intelligence being insulted and I'm being asked to even listen to him. And so I think that that's the Kanye West element. And then with Trump, with him knowing all of that. And yes, obviously Kanye West, a brilliant musician, very popular designer, all of that. But knowing when we're dealing with the political realm and Kanye West talking about he's running for president and all of that, that's the prism through which Trump should be looking at everything. And, you know, is it really worth his time to be spending his time with someone like this who, again, known to show up and blow up everything? And this is Kanye West, another iteration of that. And I guess it doesn't matter in the end that Trump didn't know who Nick Fuentes is, whether he did or he did not. Just by inviting Kanye West to come and make a complete fool out of everybody there speaks to a lot of things.
Well, and also with the news media, for a long time, they covered for Kanye. Kanye would sit down for these interviews that were taped. I think David Letterman was one of them. And he would say a lot of things. Some of it was really ugly anti-Semitic stuff. And they would cut it out. They would edit it out of the interview so he wouldn't look bad, because they wanted him to look good. And if you included that in the interview, then that would go sideways. And now, I guess, they're not doing that for him anymore, and you're seeing Kanye out there with all to bear. Now, as all of this is going on, you have the governor of the state of Florida, Ron DeSantis, who is the biggest threat to Donald Trump in a Republican primary, who's not commenting on any of it, not getting involved in any of it. He's just got his head down, and he's doing the business for the people of Florida. That seems to me to be the right move.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that everything Ron DeSantis has done so far has been, you know, which would have behooved many a Republican before him, was to not play the game of you have to have an opinion about Donald Trump, whether it's to kiss his ass or denounce him and say that he's a white supremacist. You don't have to talk every time you're asked a question, let alone a question that has to do with Donald Trump. One aside is, I will say, I do believe that in Kanye West's heart, obviously, I don't know for sure, but I do believe that he does not see himself as a anti-Semite. I was talking about this with my colleagues, is that you have seen over the course of the years, you know this better than anybody else, just by nature of where you've lived and who you've associated with, and, you know, just the world of L.A. There were many a celebrity before Kanye West who they came out and said something about, quote unquote, the Jews. but they all kind of have the same pattern, which is they're talking about people who finance the entertainment industry, whether it's movies or music or entertainment contracts. They're talking about a very specific group of people that happen to be Jewish, yes, and maybe calling them the Jews is not the most articulate or finest way of putting it. But I wrote about that before Kanye West came out and explained that was what he was talking about, was people who just happen to be a lot of Jews. I don't know what the reason is. There are a lot of Jewish people in the entertainment industry in LA, in New York, that have a lot to do with financing entertainment industry projects. So there is that. But as far as DeSantis goes, yes, I think that he's doing his best to stay away from the freak show that just tends to follow Trump. And it is a freak show. It is a circus. Oftentimes it can be interesting or funny, or it can even be useful for political purposes. But right now we're looking at someone who's not a president. He's a former president. He's got investigations circling him nonstop. And now we have the Kanye West element. So yes, Ron DeSantis is doing very well to keep out of all of that.
Well, with a lot of people in Hollywood who say anti-Semitic things, I think, and to a certain extent, you could even throw the sexual stuff in there too. They believe, because they are politically a certain way, that they are in their heart of hearts good people. So because they're good people, they cannot possibly be anti-Semitic. They can go out and say wildly anti-Semitic things, but from their point of view, they are not. Just like I believe Harvey Weinstein could probably attach himself to a lie detector test and say that he's a feminist and really believe that he's a feminist in his heart of hearts. Mm-hmm. But when he goes out and he sexually assaults women or he does things that are illegal or beyond the pale, well, I'm a good person because I believe in all of the right things politically. And you will let yourself go to all kinds of strange places if you believe that you have morality on your side and you believe that you're sufficiently woke and those sorts of things. And I think that Kanye West probably fits that category. Eddie, we're out of time. We got to run, but thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks, John.
And you can read Eddie in the pages of The Federalist and get his book, Liberal Misery, online at Amazon.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at E.Scary. Well, I've been looking at the national and international news all weekend. And the story that surprises me the most comes from Asia. Apparently, China is on yet another lockdown. They have a zero tolerance policy for COVID positive test results, which means they're in lockdown mode 24/7.
And it's a way stricter lockdown than we had here in Los Angeles. Like, if one person in an apartment building tests positive, you cannot leave the apartment building and they start delivering you your food.
And President Xi just was reelected to another term.
Well, he was reelected to president for life.
Well, I guess that is a term, like term life insurance. And he is a huge COVID bro. He loves to shut down the country. But even in repressive countries, even in countries where you have your foot on the throat of your population, at a certain point, people have had enough. And when the people have had enough, and they outnumber you by wide margins, watch out. At some point, that happens to every government that's existed on planet Earth. Times are good, you're okay. Times are bad, the people are looking for someone to blame. And if you're in China, the person to blame is Xi. Not as in a female, that's his name, XI. And you look at the protests of the people of China who are out in the streets violating the law of the Chinese government, saying that they're over the lockdowns. They refuse to be locked down in their apartment anymore, and they are not going to stand for it. And this is a country that doesn't deal with dissent very well. They run people over with tanks if they don't like what you're doing. But the difference between running someone over with a tank in the old days and running someone over with a tank now is that everyone has a smartphone, so everyone will see it happen in real time, maybe even live. So all of these human rights abuses that are going on over there are memorialized by technology. And the more you abuse the population, the more people see you abusing your own population. And they don't like it. They got to be real careful right now. Real careful. Because if they push too far, that government could fall. And you say to yourself, okay, that's a communist government. They push too far. And there is a revolution. And there is a new government that's put in charge. Let me tell you how ugly that's going to get. Because the Chinese have a very, very, very large military. And they do not care about a lot of the things that politicians over here have to worry about. Xi will do everything he needs to knock out a revolution. This could be really, really, really messy. Clean up on aisle 7. But what's most interesting to me, as I watch these images of the people of China protesting in the streets, is that they're getting more pushback to lockdowns in China than they got in Los Angeles.
No, thank you.
How the hell did that happen? You know somewhere the fake doctor is looking at what's going on in China right now and is rooting for Xi. How come he gets to lock his population down and I don't?
You saying she's a little jelly bread?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Her and all the rest of them. Because over here, even though the Board of Supervisors is an insane asylum, she still has to have 3 votes to get her programs through. Because the minute they get tired of her, she's done.
Yeah.
There are political considerations that exist even in Los Angeles that don't exist in China. And you know that she's watching the same news that we are, but her take is 180 degrees different than ours. Oh no, I do believe the party's over for her. She may try to bring back a mask mandate. She may try to cancel school. She may try to do something along those lines. But if this is what the reaction is in China, I don't even think the politicians would allow her to do it because they're all watching too. The Board of Supervisors is watching. The new mayor is watching. The governor is watching. And they're saying to themselves right now, I don't want to be the guy that's knocked out of office because of lockdowns, particularly lockdowns coming from the fake doctor.
Maybe she looks at that and she looks at the response from the Chinese Communist government and she says, if they only had a better PowerPoint.
Next slide.
Well, that's how these politicians look at these races and they look at these news stories. Democrats all started freaking out after Glenn Youngkin won the Virginia governor's race and the Republican in New Jersey came very close to winning in a race that no one thought would be competitive. When Brexit happened, everyone over here was looking at Brexit and they were saying to themselves, this populist thing is real. We should consider it not as something that is a one-time thing with Donald Trump being elected, but as a movement that will outlast him. I do believe they're looking at the protests in China right now and they're making mental notes to themselves. What the people of China are doing right now is so much more helpful to the people of Los Angeles and the people of California than you think, because it's scaring the living daylights out of all of our electeds. Well, day in and day out, when we look at the local news, it's easy to walk away with the impression that Los Angeles is the worst-run big city in the entire nation. But every once in a while, you'll see a story where you say to yourself, maybe there's a city out there that's governed worse than Los Angeles. Certainly, anytime you see the crime stories out of Chicago, you have to say to yourself, what's that gremlin who runs that city thinking? How do they allow that to happen? Why don't they do something about all the shootings? And recently, we've seen yet another example of a very poorly run city And that is Houston, Texas. Have you seen what the drinking water looks like in Houston, Texas right now?
They have to shut down the schools.
How the hell do you have a major U.S. city? Houston is the fourth largest city in the country. New York, L.A., Chicago, Houston, number four. They're being told to boil their water before they consume it.
Yeah. There was a power outage at one of the water treatment plants, which got the water to the point where you're pretty much drinking toilet water. And you got to wonder, how does that happen in the energy capital of the country, Texas?
How does it happen over and over and over again? Didn't Flint, Michigan have a problem like this in Jackson, Mississippi?
Well, that's why Kamala Harris is going around the country saying we're going to change all the lead in the pipes.
I don't know if they're going to be changing the lead in the pipes, but I'll tell you, water should be clear. That much I know. And when you turn on the tap and it's not clear, you got yourself a problem.
You know, when Houston was founded, it was famous for being a town free of regulation. They might want to have a little bit of it.
Well, when Houston was founded, it was Galveston. But then it kept getting leveled by the hurricane, so they just literally picked up and moved. Good Mexican food in Houston, though. I will give them that.
Oh, and great barbecue.
It's 252. This is Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.